In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I dropped my car off at the dealership to get it serviced, and I took a courtesy shuttle home. And the courtesy driver was an immigrant from Algeria. And so we talked about his family, about his aspirations, and we talked about the long hours that he put in at work before he went home to study. He's studying to become an engineer. So I asked him, "Do you ever miss Algeria?" He said, "Sometimes I miss some of the things about Algeria. It will always be my home, and I still have a lot of family there." And so there was a little pause in our conversation as he thought about his home country. But then he said, "You know, I would never want to move back there. This is the greatest country on earth to live in. In Algeria, I thought it would be amazing if I ever had enough money to purchase even an old car. And here, everyone has a car. And soon, my wife and I will be buying a house with a yard. And in Algeria, I never would have been able to afford to own land. And here I can work my way through college. In Algeria, unless you're extremely wealthy, you'll never go to college. This is the greatest country, and I want to remain here the rest of my life, and I want my children to grow up with the opportunities that I've found here." I was struck by the contrast between his view of the conditions in the United States and the way that politicians seem to be describing things. Now, I'm not blind to the fact that there are issues in our nation that need to be addressed. But rather than looking at what was wrong in the United States, he was focused on what was right. He was grateful, truly grateful for things that most of the people who are born and raised here take for granted and often forget to be grateful for those things. 10 people suffering from the terrible disease of leprosy approached Jesus as he was on his way to Jerusalem, and they asked him for healing. And so Jesus sent them to the priest, and as they were on their way, all 10 of them were cleansed. But notice Luke doesn't say that all 10 of them were made well. He said all 10 were cleansed. They were cleansed of leprosy, but they were not made well. There was a disease far more destructive than leprosy that had attached itself to their hearts. But one did return to Jesus, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and thanked him, giving praise to God. And to this one, Jesus said, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." It was only when this one returned to Jesus to offer thanks that he was made well. There was something about this act of gratitude that brought a deeper healing than simple cleansing from leprosy. In this show of gratitude, there was a restoration of the relationship between this man and God. And in that restoration of a right relationship with God, the man was made well. More than cleansed. He was made well. Things were right with him, not just right with his body, but right with his soul as well. So what made the difference between the 9 and the one who returned with gratitude? Why did the other 9 go along their way, never returning to Jesus? Why was only the Samaritan the one who came back to be made well? It's been suggested that the 9 were so caught up in the ritual for cleansing that they forgot to return. You see, the ritual for cleansing meant that they had to be examined by the priest. And if the priest said that they were free from leprosy, then they were supposed to go to the temple where they were to offer a sacrifice in thanksgiving for their cleansing. And some have suggested that the formalities of the law kept them from showing their gratitude. It's been said that they were too bound up in the things of the law to display an appropriate thanks for their cleansing. And it's true, there is an ever-present danger of formalism in religion. It's too easy to perform a perceived duty while failing to allow that duty to penetrate into the depths of our hearts. That doesn't only apply to the Jewish people of the first century. We've done it in the church throughout the ages as well. Whether it was the sale of indulgences or a formalistic view of the sacraments or telling people that all you have to do is say this prayer, repeat after me, and everything will be fine. Every generation in the church, every tradition in the church has fallen prey to formalism at one time or another. But I don't think the difference between the nine who did not return and the one who did had its root in religious formalism, because I think formalism is the symptom of a much deeper problem. And I think Luke gives us an important clue to what was going on when he tells us the one who returned was a Samaritan. Because Samaritans weren't necessarily morally superior to the Jewish people. But they did have one advantage. This man had one advantage over the other nine. And that was that he was not expecting to benefit from the coming of the Jewish Messiah. He thought the Jewish Messiah was for the Jewish people. And as a Samaritan, it didn't have much to do with him. He had not taken for granted that when the Messiah came, it would be a good thing for him as a Samaritan. The fact that the Jewish Messiah would do good things for him was a fresh discovery. It was a surprise of the grace of God. It opened his eyes to the vast generosity of the kingdom of heaven. One who had been outside of the Jewish messianic hope became a beneficiary of that kingdom. You see, the other nine were so accustomed to the idea that the Messiah would bring healing to them. After all, it was what he was supposed to do. They were so accustomed to it that they were cleansed and they thought, well, this is just what happens. This is our right as descendants of Abraham. It's what the Messiah is supposed to do. And so they were cleansed, but they were not made well. Their relationship with God had not been set right. One of the dangers that those of us who have been raised in the church or have been part of the church for many years face is that we can lose a sense of awe when we speak of God's grace offered to us in Jesus Christ. We study the Bible and intellectually we discover that we're saved by grace through faith. But that statement doesn't surprise us the way it ought to. When we say, for us and for our salvation, Jesus came down from heaven, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, we take God's plan for our salvation for granted. We're no longer surprised by the fact that Jesus left the right hand of the throne of God to enter this world, to humble himself, taking on the form of a servant, even humbling himself to death on a cross. It doesn't surprise us the way it should. We don't allow it to penetrate to the depths of our hearts. And if we lose the surprise of grace, the surprise of the grace of God offered to us in Jesus Christ, it's very easy to fall into ingratitude. Our Lord is always showering the world with his grace in hope that it will not only bring cleansing, but that it will truly make us well. that not only our bodies would be well, but that our souls would be right with Him and our relationship with Him would be what He hopes it would be. Jesus reached out to all 10 men suffering with leprosy who approached Him that day. He cleansed each one of them, hoping that in their cleansing they would find the gratitude that would allow them to be made well, that would allow them to have a restored relationship with God. And in His generosity, God continues to reach out to us, hoping that we will return to Him with gratitude in our hearts. How has God been reaching out to you? I know he has been reaching out. He's been reaching out to all of us in the reading of His Word. Never forget the sense of awe that we should have that God would actually want to reveal Himself to us. Don't lose the surprise that God chooses to speak to you through His Word. He's been reaching out to us in the sacrament of His body and blood. He's been reaching out to us through the benefits of our baptism. One of the great graces that God has given to me is to see some of our youth present part of the teaching at our gift program. Because it's like they're discovering something new in the faith. And as I look at it through their eyes, I get to see the wonder that they have. And it restores that wonder in me. And it restores that sense of gratitude that I can have. But how else has God been reaching out to you? Perhaps you've experienced a physical healing in your life. Perhaps you've had a relationship that's been healed. Perhaps you've been met with God's provision in your finances in a way that you never expected to happen. But God's been showering His grace on you. Take a moment to think about those things, the way that God has been reaching out to you in love, in ways that He's been offering a cleansing. And then turn to Him with gratitude for that restored relationship so that you too can be made well. Because as Christians, we know that every good thing is a gift from God. Every meal that we enjoy, every note of music that we hear, the beauty we see in the world around us, all of these things come from God as a gift of grace. And we know this with our intellects, but let it sink into your hearts. The Lord keeps showering us with grace upon grace. May we never become so accustomed to the good things that God has given us that we take them for granted. May we never take for granted the benefits of being citizens of the kingdom of heaven. If we want to be made well, if we want a new and a fresh relationship with our Father in heaven, we can find it when we return to Him with gratitude in our hearts. Never let yourself get so used to the goodness of God revealed in creation, or the goodness of God spoken in Scripture, or the goodness of God in reconciling you to Himself through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Never let yourself get so used to that goodness that you lose the sense of awe and the sense of gratitude. Instead, keep returning. Keep falling down before the Lord to offer thanks for the great grace that He has shown to each one of us. I share this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.